Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and today I want to talk again to you about what we talked about last week, which is this: Jesus has given us authority to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Everybody say, Jesus has given us authority.
Jesus has given us authority.
Say, Jesus has given us authority.
Jesus has given us authority.
To establish the kingdom of God on the earth.
To establish the kingdom of God on the earth.
Jesus has given us authority.
To establish the kingdom of God on the earth.
And we've been looking at Mark chapter 1, so turn over to Mark chapter 1 real quick in verse 14. And what I wanted you to see here was the importance of the phrase kingdom of God in Jesus' ministry. And I wanted you to see that that was the focus of what he came to do. Lots of times we lose this focus, but if you study the Gospels, if you study the New Testament, you'll see that the focus of what Jesus came to do had to do with the kingdom of God. With the kingdom of God. And so we see here in Mark chapter 1 verse 14, it says this: Now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And gospel just means good news, right? So Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. So everybody say, Jesus came preaching, the good news, the great news, the fantastic news of the kingdom of God. Well, you know that it calls it the gospel, the great news, the fantastic news, the wonderful news, lets you know something about what the message was. It's kind of like those insurance commercials. Have you seen those insurance commercials? You know, where I don't remember what the insurance company is, but the guy starts saying, he says, well, you know, I've got some bad news for you. You know, this is going to cost you $1 million, but I got some good news too. And then the guy goes, oh, what's the good news? He says, well, I saved money on my car insurance. You know what I mean? And the guy's going, what? Well, you know, if the good news was just, you know, I saved some money on my car insurance, we wouldn't call it the good news. You know what I'm saying? If you saved, especially if it was you that saved money on your car insurance. But there's something about this message that is great. It's fantastic. It's wonderful news to people. The kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, we see what Jesus said when he preached this message called the gospel, or the great news of the kingdom of God. In verse 15, here's what he said. How do I know that? Because the first two words are, and saying, right? Verse 15, Jesus came saying, the time is fulfilled. Everybody say, the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Say, the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Say, the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. When the time is fulfilled, that means there's no more waiting. There's no more time to be filled. It's like a glass that's full of water. Once the glass is full of water, you don't need to wait for any more water to get in the glass, right? That's what he's saying. The time is fulfilled. There's no more waiting. Christians are real good at waiting. You know what I mean? We've been waiting. Back in Jesus' day, the Jewish people, they were good at waiting. You know what I mean? Someday the Messiah will come. Yes! God used to do things way back in Moses' day, way back in Elijah's day, way back in Elisha's day. And someday he'll do things off in the future, by and by, somewhere. And then Christians started that saying, oh, yes, God used to do things back in Jesus' day. He used to do things back in Moses' day. He used to do things back in Elijah's day. And someday, off in the future, he'll do some more things. But Jesus says this, he says, the time is fulfilled. Say, the time is fulfilled.
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 The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
It's here. It's here. No more waiting. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 16. And what we started talking about last week was this, was Well, before we turn to Matthew chapter 16, and then we began to look at what is the kingdom of God? What does that phrase mean? Kingdom of God. Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And most Christians read that and what they hear is heaven. Jesus preached the good news of heaven. He preached the good news of going to heaven when you die. And that's what the gospel of the kingdom of God. Or some other people, they study it a little more and they'll say, no, the kingdom of heaven is just something on the inside of you. When you begin living nice and you begin living a better life, then that's the kingdom of heaven. But what we saw is that when Jesus told his disciples, he told them to go preach. And he told them to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And then he said, after you heal the sick, after you cast out demons, you say to the people, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God. So what you can see from that is that healing the sick, casting out demons, that's the kingdom of God. We saw in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said, he taught his disciples to pray. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I told you this. I said, the kingdom of God is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God, everybody say, the kingdom of God,
the kingdom of God
is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is where God is ruling. The kingdom of God is where God is king. The kingdom of God is where God's will is being done. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is where God's will is being done. Just like his will is done in heaven. You know, he says to an angel, go, and the angels go. Then Jesus said, pray this, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like in heaven. And what I wanted you to see was this, that's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. He came to establish God's kingdom being done on earth. God's will being done on earth just like it is in heaven. Well, is there sickness and disease in heaven? How many of you think there's sickness and disease in heaven? We're going to get up to heaven and there's still going to be sick people rolling around in wheelchairs and blind people and deaf people and people dying of horrible diseases and people with leprosy and horrible things like that. Is that in heaven? Is there sick? Are there hospitals in heaven? Are there doctors in heaven? Was there sickness and disease in the Garden of Eden? Before Adam and Eve sinned, was there sickness and disease? Dan is saying, well, yes, yeah, some doctors are going to make it to heaven.
Some doctors, at least some lawyers.
But they won't be practicing medicine. Hallelujah. That's what I meant to say. Was there sickness and disease in the Garden of Eden?
No.
Was there poverty and lack in the Garden of Eden?
No.
Is there poverty in heaven?
No.
Is there destruction in heaven? Is there mental depression and mental oppression in heaven?
No.
Was there warfare in the Garden of Eden?
No.
Well, those things, heaven, the Garden of Eden, that tells us what God's will is. If God's will was sickness and disease, there'd be sickness and disease in heaven. If God's will was poverty and lack, there'd be poverty and lack in heaven. If God's will was poverty and lack, there'd be poverty and lack in the Garden of Eden. Can you see that? You know, and so we as Christians, we have to twist our mind. And so we'll say, oh, well, yeah, poverty's good. Poverty's good. Well, if poverty was good, there would have been some in heaven. And on the fifth day, God created poverty and he said it was good. But he didn't say that. Hallelujah. Now, I said all that just to say this. The kingdom of God, Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. He said, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. The kingdom of God is here. What is the kingdom of God? It's God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. It's where God is reigning. It's where God's will is being done. It's where God is king. And then we saw the kingdom of God is God's power unto salvation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Who can tell me what the gospel of Christ was for $1 and a trip to Disneyland? Hallelujah. What was the gospel of Christ? We just read it. He came in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that which Christ used to preach, which was what? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Why aren't you ashamed, Apostle Paul? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And we saw that the word salvation doesn't just mean going to heaven when you die, but it literally means deliverance, healing, protection, safety. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul was in effect telling us, I'm not ashamed of the gospel that Christ preached. I'm not ashamed of the good news of the kingdom of God. I like to put it this way, because it does something. The good news of the kingdom of God does something. It heals. It sets free. It delivers. It protects. It provides safety. Hallelujah. And then he put the next phrase in. If he'd have left the next phrase out, we'd be okay. But the very next thing he said was this, to him that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Gentile. So we get in on the thing. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God for that. So he said, to who does it belong? To him that believeth. To him that believeth. To him that believeth. Okay, so now turn over to Matthew chapter 16. And so that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God, Greg? It's God's will being done on the earth. It's where God is reigning. It's God's power unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto protection, unto preservation. That's what the kingdom of God is. And then I wanted to show you this, that, well, okay, Jesus went, and then he gave us authority to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. And we've been reading here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 for quite a while. And it says this, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Say, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Well, most Christians have this idea of the gates attacking them. But the picture in your mind you should have is us attacking the gates. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do. He said, go out, heal the sick, cause the blind to see, cause the lame to walk, help people, say to them, and now the kingdom of God is here. Can you see that? That's what the gates of hell didn't prevail against the disciples. And Jesus said this. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Say, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the church. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What are the gates of hell? That's where hell is ruling. That's where God is not ruling. That's where God's will is not being done on the earth. That's where the gates of hell are. You can look at, you know, imagine a big fortress city. And you knew, oh, there's a fortress city over there. That's where Satan is king over there. And you'd know that's the gates of hell, right? And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It will not prevail against the church. Can you see that? Well, how do you identify where Satan is king? How do you identify where Satan's kingdom is ruling? Where God's will is not being done. That's where Satan is ruling. Where you look at countries where there's mass starvation and people killing each other for no reason at all. The gates of hell are ruling there. Where you see a sick person, a person who's sick and diseased and dying, Satan is ruling over their life. Where you see people who are under mental oppression, who are depressed, who are oppressed, who are anxious and worried and full of anxiety. Satan is ruling there. That's the gates of hell. And what did Jesus say about the gates of hell? They will not prevail against the church. They will not prevail against the church. That fortress will not prevail against the church. That fortress will not prevail against the church. That fortress will not prevail. But we drive by the fortress every day and we wave at it and we say, those poor people living under the dominion of Satan. Those poor people living under the kingship, the rulership of Satan. Those poor people living under the domination of the kingdom of hell, the gates of hell. And we drive by and we say, huh? Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He didn't even say the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus. He didn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus. He didn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against me. He said the gates of hell will prevail, not prevail against the church. The church is supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be fighting the gates of hell and knocking them down and setting people free. Hallelujah. And then we saw this next verse. And he says this, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I explained to you that for Jewish people, they don't like to use the word God. A pious or orthodox Jewish people, they don't like to use the word God. And so they'll use the word heaven as a euphemism for God. In place of God, they'll use the word heaven, just like we do. You know, we say, thank heaven, right? You guys remember that song, right? Am I the only one who remembers that song? I guess it's, thank heaven for little girls, those little girls so helpful. Nobody remembers that song. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys need to go to the movies a little more. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Vilma. Maurice Chevalier. You know, okay. Anyway, when we say thank heaven, what do we mean? We mean thank God. And so when we see heaven here, it's just another word for God. It's not a different kingdom. He says, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of God. The keys of the kingdom of God. And so some people take that and they imagine in their mind that there's the gate of heaven and there's a big key and we insert it in and we let people. That's not what it's talking about. What is the kingdom of God? $5 in the trip and a hamburger from Jack in the Box to the person who could tell me what is the king. God's will being done on the earth. Thank you very much. What is the kingdom of God? God's will being done upon the earth. So he says, in effect, he's telling us, I give unto you the keys of God's will being done upon the earth. I give unto you the keys of the power of God unto salvation. I give unto you the keys of the power of God unto healing. I give unto you the keys of the power of God unto deliverance. I give unto you the keys of the power of God unto protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give unto you the keys of God's will being done on the earth. And most Christians, what do? We look at the key and we say, what a beautiful key. Wow, there it is, Connie. The key to the kingdom of God. There it is. You want to see it? The key to the kingdom of God. That's it. We keep an alarm on the kingdom of God, you know, just in case. You never know. But there's the key to the kingdom. And they take that key. They put it in their pocket. Never to be seen again. Is that what you're supposed to do with the keys to the kingdom of God? What are you supposed to do with the keys of the kingdom of God? Use it to do what? So that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Where am I here? Matthew chapter 28. I'm almost done. Say, Jesus has given us the keys. The keys to God's will being done on the earth. What is a key? A key represents authority. Jesus has given us authority to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Jesus has given... Oh, we forgot to read the rest of that scripture. I'm sorry. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he tells us what those keys are. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All I want you to see right now is what he's talking about is authority. He's not talking about a real, literal key, some big golden spiritual key. He's taught the key represents authority. That's why the very next thing he says is, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Hebrew, that phrase would read, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Jesus is talking about authority. He's saying you have authority. He's saying you have authority. You as the church, we as the church, we have authority. We have authority to do what? To establish God's will being done on the earth. We have authority. We have the keys to the kingdom of God. We have the keys to God's will being done on the earth. We have the authority to God's will being done on the earth. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Does anybody remember cowboy movies besides me? Yeah, I don't think they, you know, they hardly have cowboy movies anymore, you know. They do, but I mean, they're reruns, they're not new movies. You know, occasionally they'll have a movie with Tom Selleck or who's the guy from the Civil War movie, Dances with Wolves. You know, he'll make cowboy movies. What's his name? Kevin Costner, yeah, he'll make cowboy movies, but that's about it. But when I was a kid, they had cowboy movies every week. I mean, Roy Rogers was one of my big heroes. Roy Rogers and Trigger, you know what I mean? Those were my big heroes. Well, in the cowboy movies, the scene you'd see all the time was, you know, the bad guys had come and robbed the bank. You know, and then the sheriff would come and say, we need to get a posse together. You know, and the men of the town would gather up. And they're going to form a posse to go chasing after the bad guys. But before the posse takes off, he has to deputize these posse members. And so he'll make them raise their hand. He'll say, do you swear to uphold the laws of the territory of Wyoming? And they would say, yes, we do, you know. And they'd be sworn in, and sometimes he'd give them little badges. Okay, here's your badge. You're a deputy now. Here's your badge. You're a deputy now. And now that meant they had authority. Okay, here's what I want you to see. Jesus has made us his deputies. Jesus has made us his deputies. We are his deputies. We have authority. Look here in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, his disciples, saying, what are disciples? Just so we can get that done with for a second. What are disciples? Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, here, make me one of these. What's a disciple? A student. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. A student. A disciple is a student. You know, it's in Hebrew, I think the word is talmidim. It's a person who studies with you. It's your disciple. He's your master. You're his student. He's trying to make you like him. Hallelujah. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. Now, I only mention that because when we hear these things, we think, oh, the apostles. No, this is for the disciples. The apostles were the big shot disciples, but this is for all the disciples. Look here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what Jesus said, right? And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know, when I read that, I always think this. I mean, I don't mean this to be blasphemous or sacrilegious, but I always think, and? Why are you telling us this, Jesus? What's the point of this conversation? All power has been given unto me. Is that, well, great for you, Jesus. That's wonderful. Great. You know, it's like if Dan came to me and said, I won the lottery. I'd say, well, that's wonderful for you. What's that do for me? You know, win the lottery in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But we see in the next verse where we fit into this. Why was Jesus telling them that? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore. Everybody say, go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore.
Say, go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore.
Whenever you see, it's like Dad Hagen liked to say, whenever you see the therefore, you got to stop and see what the therefore is there for. Now, what is the therefore here? It's to relate his command to us to what he has just said. What he has told us to do depends on what he had just said. What did he just say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now go. Go ye therefore. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Hallelujah. In other words, go and establish the kingdom of God. And he says, make disciples. It says, teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. It says, teach all nations. But it could be translated, and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. So Jesus has made us a deputy. Here's my deputy badge. See my deputy badge? So I've been deputized. I've been deputized. Who else wants to be a deputy? Raise your hand. Okay, come on up here, Chris. Hallelujah. Jesus has deputized us for what purpose? To establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. All authority has been given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth, and now he's deputized us. Just like those deputies that the sheriff swore in the cowboy movie, raise your right hand, you're now a deputy. Go get the bad guy. Hallelujah. Jesus has made us a deputy. He's deputized us. That means we have, thank you, princess. That means we have the right. We have the right to use that authority that Jesus was talking about. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. We have been deputized to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. We have been given the right to use all that authority that Jesus had. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, as a result of me having all authority. Now because I have all authority, you go. Hallelujah. Look here in Romans chapter 5. I lost my badge. Fire the badge maker. Hallelujah. Look here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Look what it says here. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Say death reigned.
Death.
Say by one man's offense.
By one man's offense.
Death reigned.
Death reigned.
What does reigned mean? It fell out of the sky in little droplets?
No.
What does it mean? What does death reign mean, Mariah? Rule. When you reign is when you rule. Who was the one man? It says, by one man's offense, death was the ruler. Death was king. By one man's offense, who was the... As a result of Adam's offense, death became king. And now, but look what it says in the rest of the verse. Much more, say much more.
Much more.
They which receive abundance of grace... And the gift of righteousness
shall reign in life.
What does reign mean?
Rule.
Rule. Where are they going to rule?
In life.
How are they going to rule? By one Jesus Christ. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So when we reign, who do we reign by? He has the authority. We reign as the result of him
having authority. Can you see that? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Look here where it says about Jesus. Starting in verse 19, it says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His, of God's power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, according to the working of God's mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead," say raised Him from the dead, "and set Him at His own right hand." Whose own right hand? So God raised Jesus from the dead, and God set Jesus at His own right hand. Let's keep reading. Say, in the heavenly places. Say, far above. Say, far above. Far above. Say, far above. Far above. Far above. All principality. What's a principality? It's a kingdom. It's where a prince is ruling. It's where a prince is in charge. It's a principality. Principality is just another word for kingdom. So He set Jesus far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things, everybody say all things, under His feet. He had put all things, say all things, under His feet. He had put all things. Say all things.
All things.
Under His feet.
Under
whose feet?
Under
Jesus' feet. Well, doesn't that kind of remind you of what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 28? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority has been given unto me, and He has put all things under His feet. He set Him at His right hand in the heavenly place, at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, every power, every name that is named, not just in this world, but in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet. He gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. I dropped my badge again, huh? Hallelujah. Give me another piece of tape. Now, okay, you say, well, great, Greg, what's that have to do with us? "And hath put all things under His feet," but look at the rest of the verse, "and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." To the church. He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Say,
the church.
Is the body. It's the fullness of Him. Well, let me put it this way. Without the church, Jesus ain't full. He's not complete. He's not finished. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are the fullness of Christ. We are the fullness. Without us, Christ can do nothing. Without us, all that authority, that power that He's been giving. Without us, the fact that everything has been put under His feet makes no difference. You know why? Because we are His feet. Hallelujah. And then it says over here, everybody say, we've been deputized.
We've been deputized.
We've been deputized. Hallelujah. We've been deputized. I got my badge. We've been deputized. It says here, what does it say? It says, deputy to the great King. That's what the badge says here. Deputy to the great King. We've been deputized. Listen, skip down to chapter 2, verse 6. "And hath raised us," everybody say us,
"up together."
Say together.
Together.
Say together. Say together.
Together.
Say together.
Together.
"And made us sit together."
Together.
Say sit together.
Sit together.
Say together.
Together.
Together. In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
We're seated with Christ Jesus. Together with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. Amen. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, we've been given authority. To establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Say, we've been given authority. To establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Say, we've been given authority. We're seated in Christ Jesus. We're seated at the right hand of power in Christ Jesus. He's the head. We're the body. Listen, let me ask you this question. Is your head in this room today? Yeah. Pearl. Is your head in here? It's here, right? I mean, I'm looking at it right here. There it is. Your head's not... Is your body here? Do you sometimes go places without your body? You know what I mean? Say, well, I'm just taking my head today. I leave the body home to rest. It's all tired. I'm going to leave it at home. Wherever your head is, your body is, right? So if your head is seated on the throne, where's your body seated? Well, I mean, you couldn't sit on the throne with just your head, could you? Could you? Hallelujah. We're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We've been given authority. We've been made deputies of the great King. We are deputies to the great King. We are deputies to the great King. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I've been given the keys. We've been given the keys. To the kingdom of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Because we've been given the keys. We've been given the authority of the kingdom of God. We've been given the authority to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. We've been given the authority for God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We've been given authority for God's power unto salvation to be show up here on the earth. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and in earth. We're supposed to go now. Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God. We are seated together with Him. Jesus has been seated far above all principality and power. We are seated together with Him. Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God. All things are under His feet. We are seated together with Him. All things are under our feet. Hallelujah. We are to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. We are to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Wherever the gates of hell are, wherever the kingdom of hell is, we are to go there and triumph over it. And establish God's will in that place. Where there is sickness, we've been deputized to bring healing. Where there is poverty, we've been deputized to bring prosperity. Where there is bondage, we've been deputized to set people free. Hallelujah. We've been deputized. We've been deputized. Okay. Now here's what I want you to see. I got my badge. Chrissy's got her badge. But listen, it's not until this badge gets inside of you that you have authority. It's not until this badge gets inside of you that you will be able to exercise your authority. The badge has to be on your spirit so that the evil spirits can see it,
Can you see that? Does that make sense to you? I mean, I'm just making an analogy, but the badge has to be in your spirit so that when you come against the kingdom of hell, they'll see the badge. You know what I mean? They don't care about physical badges. They don't care about the police, the FBI, the CIA, whatever. They're not interested. But when they see a spiritual badge, they know they're in trouble. But how do you get it into your spirit? By hearing the Word of God, by meditating on these things, by muttering them over to yourself. You know, the scripture I've been meditating on for so long, it's just God keeps bringing it back to me over and over, is this one. It's from John chapter 15, and Jesus is teaching his disciples how to exercise their authority on the earth. And he says this, he says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Everybody say this. Say, "If you abide in me,
and my words abide in you,
you shall ask what you will,
and
it shall be done unto you."
When
that gets into your heart and becomes real to you, then you'll have the badge on the inside. It won't just be on the outside. It'll be on the inside. And then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, everybody bow their head and close their eyes. I went 10, 12, 13 minutes over time.